We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. A lot to react to today as the Sixers do what they do. They lay an egg yesterday. Knicks fans take over. Joel Embiid after the game said he's frustrated. He's annoyed that all these Knicks fans are here. Well, I'm annoyed at Joel Embiid for no show another fourth quarter in the postseason. Two total fourth quarter rebounds in the series. He's shooting 3 of 18 in the fourth quarter. We'll get to all your reaction on Joel. We also have Joel Embiid excuse bingo here. We are getting pretty close to hitting bingo here before bingo. Before halfway through the show. So we'll get to that.
Bingo!
Oh, is that it? As soon as we hit it, we'll let you know. And, of course, we had a draft this weekend. Howie did a great job. I thought getting some of the players where he got them to move back up on Friday night for Cooper DeJean, I was ecstatic because that was the guy I wanted the whole time. They went and got him. All right, the question is, how are they going to use Cooper DeJean? Because he does a little bit of everything. He's been an outside corner. He's played nickel. He's played safety. Some people think, well, can he really play outside corner in the NFL? Here's Cooper DeJean on his versatility as he gets to the Eagles here.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is versatility, you know, just being able to play multiple positions. You know, and like you said, we had a really solid defense last year. You know, and just the coaching part the way I was coached at Iowa, you know, coached to be perfect and try and be perfect in everything that I do, you know, and that's what I'm going to try and do. You know, perfection is almost impossible, but that's something that I strive for each and every time I step on the field. You know, so I'm excited to get in here, learn this defense, you know, learn from the older guys who are in this building already, you know, and just get to work, get back to playing football.
I have a suggestion for Elliot when we get out to training camp. You know how he charts all the passes?
Yeah, chart Cooper.
I need to chart where Cooper's lining up because, Hugh, that's going to be, I think, the question of on the defensive side. Like, how are they going to use this guy? Because I don't think people look at him and say, lock down outside corner. But they also think he might be able to play some corner. It's a matter of where and how Vic Fangio is going to use him.
You know what? I look at these young secondary players and the guys that they've gotten. And you talk about even CJ GJ, the fact that he's back here. I think of versatility. And it makes me remember back when Jim Johnson was here, and the more you could do, the easier it made to play defense, especially when you talk about football being so situational now. You know, nowadays you talk about personnel groupies and things of that nature and getting tails against different teams and having to run guys off the field and run other guys on and people know what your personnel groupies is. To have these versatile players, a guy like CJ GJ, a guy like Cooper DeJean, that you look at and you don't know exactly what position he's played. Only, yeah, by the way, he played basketball too, so that makes him, you know, I think it's something to be said about guys that play basketball, have that kind of basketball skill, and are able to play football.
Mm-hmm.
I think it makes him versatile, and it also gives you an advantage in the sense that if you get caught in a certain defense, that you have guys out there on the field that you're comfortable enough with that you could play whatever you could play because they all understand the assignment. And I know that, you know, a lot of people hear me harp about this all the time, but this is a big deal, dude, to have people out there that are competent, that you won't get caught with your pants down if you get caught in the defense, that you don't run the personnel out there where you could just run it with the guys that you have. I don't know what position he's going to play, but I do think one of two things is going to happen. Either Reed Blankenship is going to be a backup, or Cooper DeJean is going to be one of the starting corners, along with Quinyon Mitchell. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. And to not to pat myself on the back, but it kind of played out, or it has the potential to play out like I always thought it would, Joe. It's going to be a lot of young Thundercats on this defense.
And they need it in the secondary. Yeah. I'm with you that DeJean is going to play. It's a matter of how they get him on the field, what the plan is. So, look, this all circles back to one thing. They have 11 corners now on the roster.
11.
Maybe 12 if you count Cooper DeJean. It's a ton. So, all right. Well, that means that's probably too many for the roster. What does it mean for the vets? Obviously, James Bradberry, we all wonder if his days here are very numbered. But there's also the other guy, Darius Slay. Howie asked about the vets here. What's their role, considering they brought in all these new young guys?
So what's the future like for Darius Slay and James Bradberry? And also, you have a lot of cornerbacks now. Is there any thoughts potentially moving some of them to safety?
Yeah, I think that, obviously we've talked about both those guys, Slay coming off Pro Bowl year and James working to get back to how he was 2 years ago. And I think when you talk about corners, O-line and D-line, you can never have enough of those guys. I mean, it's just throughout the course of the season, having guys who can cover people so important. And obviously we've been in position over the past few years where we haven't had enough of those guys, and whether that's through injury or just kind of, not running out of guys towards the end of the season. So I don't think I think that's a good problem to have. I think that's what competition, that shows its way through. We got a lot of practices, a long time to go before we go to Brazil. So I think it's our goal right now just to add as much competition as we can to this football team and let it all shake out.
Sometimes I really appreciate how GMs could do GM speak so well. So Howie's saying that you can never have too many, right? He's right, right? Injuries are going to happen and whatever. They might need more than just 6 or 7 to get through a season. But you know what he left out there? They're not all going to suit up on Sundays. Mm-mm. They're not suiting up 11 corners. So yes, it's a good problem to have, Hugh, but I think he didn't want to say it because he doesn't want to give away leverage. I think there's a real chance we're getting a trade or at least a release of one of those two guys. And they wouldn't release Slay. He's too good to release at this point. But Hugh,
He
could get traded. Bradberry could get released and Slay could get traded.
Man, listen, I've been real bullish on this, and I still believe that this is I still believe this to be true because I feel like when you talk about the guys that we got, the one thing that sticks out to me about both of these corners and the one that we already have here in Kelee Ringo is that they're tacklers. They're tacklers. And that's something that was sorely missed in this secondary last year. And even from the safety spot, Reed Blankenship was not the best tackler out there. You got some guys out there that there are going to be some opportunities to be had, especially when you're going to be asked to be in the run game, run support. We've already known, it's already been documented, that Slay is not going to tackle. He said that. It's not like I'm sitting up here bashing this dude because he said it came out of his mouth that's not what he's trying to do. I feel like that this defense is going to be asked to do that, especially the secondary players. When you talk about that young front line that we have and these young linebackers in the middle, you're going to ask your corners to come up in run support and help out in run support. We got a corner out there who said he's not doing that. So that makes, in my mind, that makes him expendable.
I'm going to paint the picture of how a Darius Slay trade happens. You ready for this? And I'm going to use the example of 2016 when they had Sam Bradford and they drafted Carson Wentz. And the plan was to slow play Wentz. He wasn't supposed to start right away. And he really looked good in training camp. And I remember there was a preseason game in Indianapolis, if my memory serves, and he had to work out on the field before. And the consensus among the coaches was he's ready to play.
Mm-hmm.
And that week or 2 weeks later, I remember I was on the air. I think I was on the air with Jody Mack. And it was a Saturday morning. Or I was on the air with Ray Dininger. It was a Saturday morning. And that was when we found out that Teddy Bridgewater had tore his knee up in Vikings camp. You know what I could see, Hugh? If these young guys, let's use the two one they just drafted, right? The two examples they just drafted, Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean. Let's say they come into training camp and they just look like they're ready to play. And then we get to the end of training camp, close to the season, and a playoff caliber team loses their starting corner. You know who's got a starting corner that can be traded there? The Eagles.
We do. Yeah.
And that's how the Bradford trade went down. They got a first-round pick for Sam. Now, they won't get a first-round pick for Slay, and that's cool. But that's how I could see it happening. So it is a good problem to have. And this draft class hits. It feels like they had a good draft. If they get these kids on the field and they could play early, I think they'll put them on the field. I think they'll play.
I think they have to play, Joe. I mean, because all the resources, for the most part, still are allocated to the offensive side of the ball. This is, if I'm correct, in which I think I am, this is going to play out exactly like I thought it would. This defense is going to grow and have an opportunity to be better as the season progresses.
Well, you know what's interesting, Hugh, because they've spent all the money on offense, right? That's what they've done the last few years. Have you noticed their drafts, though, in the recent years? It's been a lot on the defensive side. I'd say the last few drafts, they've really created a young defense. Jordan mm-hmm. Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Sidney Brown, Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean. I mean, that's – and we didn't even get to Jalix Hunt, who will, you know, he will tell us more about what he thinks of him later. But, like, that's a lot. They've used a lot of picks in recent years on some young defensive players. Now they got to play. Tyrone in Middletown. What's up, Tyrone?
Tyrone.
Hey, what's up, Big Pimpin'?
What's going on,
Tyrone? Yo, Julio.
What's happening? How we doing, buddy?
I'm just kidding, man. But I like that call. But another thing about the Eagles call, I give my shout out, my respects to Mr. Lloyd for reaching out to the Trotters the way he did. As a person who, the mother of my children passed last year from AML, leukemia, and happiness. So it was devastating, not only to me, but to my kids. So I know how they felt when he reached out to them, and God bless them for that. But getting back to Joel Embiid, I first note, I like to say that the Sixers are not built to win. They're built to basically to put on a show, to put people in the seats, and to be basically fairly competitive. Because if you look at basketball and in the NBA playoffs primarily, the game slows down and becomes more physical. And the Sixers, they're a finesse team, and they're not completely built. And their toughest guy on the team is 5'11", 180 pounds, and he's 38 years old. And I think that when they got rid of Patrick Beverley and the big guy Marsh, who was Philadelphia's own, by the way, they should have kept him because he had a physical presence that they're lacking.
And he's experienced in the postseason. He's played a lot of postseason games too, Tyrone, which they could use that right now.
Yes, definitely. And I think it's hard for them to expect people to shell out two people that well over $1,000 playoff seats when actually the ownership is not going 100% to bring a winner in here, because as I said 3 months ago, it was better for them not to trade for Buddy Hield because they gave up what they are lacking now in the toughness and the size that we had coming off the bench. And getting to the Sixers, it's a great draft. You know, they shored up the corners. You know, they running backs. I think that running back is good. He needs to put on a little 10 pounds, though. He looks a little light. He's a good player. I watch. He's very good. And he nailed the draft, particularly for coming years when he picked up about three or four different picks.
Three picks for next year's draft. And Tyrone, I'm glad you brought that up. Tyrone, good phone call. Because a lot of people thought with the all the kids staying in school and obviously the COVID rules that came into place 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. that it changed the way this draft was, the depth of the draft, because a lot of kids stay with NIL and the extra year eligibility. So Howie got three picks for next year by moving around with these picks. The running back's interesting, Hugh. They took Will Shipley from Clemson.
Yeah.
He strikes me as kind of a Gainwell type of player. Because Gainwell only has 1 year left on his deal to back up Saquon. I could see Shipley kind of taking that role and being the backup running back here for a while.
Yeah, he's made the other guys a little bit expendable. He really has. And what I got from him is that he's not as big as Saquon, but he's a back that can catch the ball out of the backfield. And a little bit of a change of pace guy.
And he was productive at Clemson.
Yeah. So like I said, like everything to me that the Eagles want to do, they can still do. I mean, the Super Bowl window is to me as open as it's always been, even though, you know, I know a lot of people might feel that this defense is going to be a little young. on the job training is never a bad thing. It's never a bad thing. And I think that the interesting thing to me is going to be how many of these young players, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, Joe, with these 9 draft picks. If I was a betting man, I would say there's probably an opportunity for at least 7 of them to be here, at least. And I'm thinking probably the odd guys out, maybe the receivers, you know, because who's the receiver you just got from Cincinnati that's coming back? He was getting ready to retire. I forgot his name.
John Ross is going to participate in the rookie camp.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that at least 7 of these guys are going to make this roster, at least 7.
So, you know, you got me thinking there, your Young Thundercats thing here, and you mentioned on the job
training. Am I starting to win you over a little bit?
Well, so here's what I – well, there's something exciting about having a lot of young players.
I've been trying to tell you that for months.
I will have to say that we have to allow some – I'll use your word, a grace, right? If you're playing –
some grace with the young cats.
If you're playing a lot of young players, they're going to make some mistakes.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes.
Okay. So I could see a scenario. Now, this might be through injury. It might be through trade. At some point this year where they have 7 defensive starters that are either first, second, third, or fourth year. Actually, eight. Let me give you the names. I could see a scenario where they have 8 defensive players in the field that are very young. Quinyon Mitchell, Cooper DeJean, Sidney Brown when he comes back from his injury, Jeremiah Trotter Jr., Jordan Davis, Jalen Carter, Nolan Smith, Keely Ringo. That's 8 defensive players that are all, by NFL standards,
better,
very young.
Better score a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be exciting if they play well. We'll also have to give them have some growing pains in there as well. 215-592-9494. Quickly, then back to the lines because Tyrone mentioned it. The Daryl Morey trade for Buddy Hield is Mike O'Donnell's an all-timer. I remember, can we hear it? Can you find it?
You about to torture yourself like that.
When they traded for Buddy Hield, and I heard Daryl Morey at his press conference say this, listen to it.
We feel like we got the best player at the trade deadline that was traded. And we felt like he gave us exactly what we were looking for, which is, you know, he's one of the best 3-point shooters in NBA history. We really like what he adds to the team. And we feel like our healthy group, our playoff rotation with Buddy Hield is right there with everyone in the entire league. He puts the fear of God in the other teams.
You know what? Shut up. So
did he run around the block before he did that press conference?
He's always like that in press conferences.
Sounded like he was out of breath a little bit.
I know. I'm actually a little worried about Daryl. I hope he's okay. But that aside. So when he said that, I remember texting Kyle and I said, this is an all-time Philadelphia sports quote. If he's right, he called a shot, right? Like if Buddy Hield averages 15 a game and drains all these threes, he called a shot. I didn't expect it to go this way, this badly. But he said Buddy Hield puts the fear of God in defenses and is one of the greatest 3-point shooters ever. Buddy Hield, in 4 playoff games as a Sixer, I don't even know if we count the Miami one. Let's just use this series. 4 playoff games against the Knicks, has scored 2 total points and has made 0, obviously, he's scored 2 total points. He has made 0 3-point shots. Hugh, I don't know if I've ever heard an executive say one thing and it go the opposite, like, so far. He said he puts the fear of God in other teams. He hasn't made a 3.
Yeah, that was one of those ones where, you know, it's funny because, you know, I like to be on social media and I saw somebody had something where they were talking about Sixers fans subbing themselves in for Buddy Hield. And it just had like grandmas and everybody else just going out there and doing a much better job than Buddy Hield has done since he's been here. That's a bad look. That is definitely a bad look.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, it's gone the exact opposite way. Jim's in South Jersey. Hey, Jim.
Jim.
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Jim?
Hello?
Jim, yeah, we're Jim, here too.
We listen to
you. I mean, come on.
What's up, Jim?
Where are you, Jim?
Not much. I was at the game yesterday. I was highly disappointed with all these Knicks fans there. I mean, I walk into there and they're saying, let's go Knicks the whole damn game. Like, I've been to Flyers games, playoff games. I've been to these playoff games of this past run, you don't see anybody there. You come to this building, and it's like, well, I'm in Madison Square Garden. It's ridiculous.
Well, it was. And the loudness, the volume of it, Jim, that's what caught me. I mean, I get it, right?
Yeah.
Like, I expected there to be a certain amount of 1,000. They're not that far away. I get that. But the how vocal they were, that was unreal.
They were loud and boisterous.
I looked up, and there's a whole section up top. It was all Knicks fans. And it's just pathetic. And then walking out, I was walking to my car, and I can hear them chant in SMB and let's go Knicks outside of the stadium. That's pathetic. That's what Philadelphia is all about. If you're a Philadelphia sports fan, we're supposed to be that loud. We're supposed to be the best sports town in all of America, and that's just embarrassing, in my opinion. But, I mean, that's just me.
Well, I don't think you're the only one that feels that way. Jim, we appreciate – I mean, obviously, Joel Embiid feels similar to that. I mean,
yeah, but look at the other side of it. There's been some long-suffering Sixers fans here. So I'm not too mad at them. I get what you're saying because this is a great sports town, but I'm not too mad at the fans for this one.
Hold on. You know who else has suffered for a long time?
Who's that?
Knicks fans!
Yeah, they I'm
yeah,
not
they're
talking
taking
about Knicks
the
fans.
Trip right down the turnpike and dropping all this money to – and just – they. I mean, they embarrassed us yesterday. Embarrassed us.
That was, you know, there's been a lot of tough moments for the Sixers in the playoffs the last 5 years. That was maybe the most embarrassing day. When you factor in the Knicks fans, you factor in that they didn't score for the last 5 minutes, the factor in that Embiid didn't have a shot he made in the fourth quarter. That, I mean, the whole thing.
The city took an L, a massive L, see, the entire city.
I hear what you're saying, but it played out this way for a lot of people that didn't go because they knew, like, there's a lot of people out there that feel like they're Nostradamus right now. Because they didn't want to put themselves through the pain of watching what they watched yesterday. Because for them, it's like Groundhog Day. So I'm not mad at them for not going to the game for that reason alone.
That's a lame excuse to me.
That is not a lame excuse.
It is a lame excuse because if you're a diehard Sixers fan.
If you're emotionally.
People spent money to go watch this team when there were 10 wins a clip. It's a season for the process.
Do you think anyone that chose to sell their tickets yesterday regrets it today?
Nope.
No.
I don't think so either.
But like that doesn't mean anything to me. Like if you're a fan, you're a diehard fan, you go and support your team. Aren't we supposed to be like passionate, thick and thin?
I believe they're diehard fans, man. But it's one thing.
Nope.
It's one thing to hear the same thing over and over again, and the results are the same thing.
It's fraudulent, is what it is.
It's not.
Because we pump our chest out and flex. We're the best sports city in America. Basketball town, Sixers town. You know what? No, we're not.
So I think
we had a chance to tie the series yesterday. Yeah. We didn't show up.
All right, I'm going to do.
Well, guess who else didn't show up?
Joel.
Guess who else?
A team.
I don't disagree that he came up small in the fourth quarter. But, like, the reality of the fans weren't there and left before the fourth quarter.
But that's the reason why I'm not mad at the fans today. Because, Dave, how many years have you sat through this? How many years? Like, you want me to give you the small sampling size since I've been here? And I'm gonna keep it short and sweet for you. Joel Embiid has one monster game. And then all of a sudden, they're not back-to-back. Like, for an example, like Anthony Edwards. You know, I haven't watched one Minnesota Timberwolves game, but I've seen all his highlights. Because that young man has been talking trash all the way until he got the brooms out.
So we're front runners.
No.
Yeah.
I don't look at it like that.
You're saying that we've been through so much heartache that we just abandoned the team.
I'll do what I hate with Embiid because it's been going on for a long time. But this is kind of new, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to make excuses for the fans. Okay? There's some fan excuse, bingo? I am. Well, you can start that. There's some circumstances here for this particular playoff run that are a little bit different than others. Number one, when they made that trade of Harden, and everyone hated Harden, they basically told us this was a pause year. They got role players back. You know, right? So from the beginning of the season, anyone that was being realistic said they're probably not winning the title this year. Then Embiid got hurt again, okay? And he was out for a long time. What did we all do in February? We all kind of checked out. And then at last five games, oh, wait a second. They might get a 3 seed. They might get a 4 seed. Let's get back into this. So people were mentally checked out from the beginning, rechecked out again. And then that's fair. If your team's not that good, you kind of mentally check out of a championship window. Okay, and then more excuses. They went down 0-2. Mm-hmm. So the series is probably in the tubes anyway, even though we didn't want to believe it. So you have all these things. And then the last one, this is the first time they've played a team like this close, right? Mm-hmm. This is not going to happen when you play the Raptors. It's not going to happen when you play whoever else they played, or the Wizards, or you know, whoever, Miami. They're not coming here. You got fans 90 minutes away that could take advantage of the people who are out.
So front runners.
No, that's not fair.
That's exactly what you just described.
That's not fair.
Is that we checked out on the team.
It's not fair.
Why is it not fair? It's totally fair.
But no, but
it's not fair.
No, but it's okay to check out of this being a championship year. The Sixers checked out. When they traded Harden for
Covington. They just had a chance to go 2-2 in the series. All I heard for the whole last month is, the East is wide open this year.
It is.
Okay, well then now what?
And it's so wide open that a team with Brunson and a bunch of grinders is going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
Right, so what excuse do we have to check out of that for?
Well, I don't know.
Thought we had a good chance.
We have as much of an excuse as I got a whole bingo board of excuses for the superstar who can't play in the fourth quarter. 215-592-9494. Hit your phone calls next. Are you annoyed with Embiid? Because he seems to be annoyed with all of us for not showing up yesterday. Knicks fans taking over, I always called it MSG. It was MSG South yesterday, unfortunately. And, of course, the Eagles. Your reaction to the draft, the pick of Cooper DeJean in the second round. Could we see a trade of one of these veterans in the secondary and the Trott Jr. pick in the fifth? 215-592-9494. We'll react to all the Sixer stuff next with you on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.